It is in our DNA, right? I mean, this is what it is. Since the invention of fire, we've been putting meat over it and standing there and pointing out, maybe you should flip that over, right?
720 WGN, we are back and here until 1. And we mentioned a little bit with Tim Scheer and excited to have on as we talk a little bit of food and barbecue. And this is the kickoff for summer, so a lot of people are out in their backyard. And some people, lucky enough, are at events like we were with him at Worldwide Technology Raceway for the El Bandito Barbecue Smokedown. Is the one and only grilling fool himself, Scott Thomas. Scott, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how are you?
Hey there. So you heard, I don't know if you got a chance, if you're on hold, if you could hear Tim, but he mentioned, he said, of course, and designated you as one of the original kind of influencers on Instagram. You have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, like 2015, I kind of dabbled in it, but actually 2014, and then 2015, I started hitting it hard. God, that's 7 years. Yeah. It's been a good run.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a million years ago, but in the world of social media, it is
right.
It is a transcendent amount of time. So talk a little bit about it for you personally, for yourself. Barbecue is, you know, it is the quintessential American cuisine. It is one of those things that people have their own different takes and spins on it, but everybody universally loves it. It is the food that people celebrate with. It is the food that people have to commune with. And it is one of those things that is, I think, universally accepted and beloved, right? And so for you personally, Scott Thomas, like, what was it that got you hooked on barbecue? Was it the sights, the smells, the visuals? What was it that got you started?
Well, you know, barbecue was something my dad did at home. You know, he would light the grill and people would just congregate around it. It was like a homing beacon, like, hey, come over here, hang out, let's talk, let's have a beverage. And it was just extremely social. And I went to college. The running joke in my family is I was sent to college with a suitcase and a grill. And you know, I basically, you know, a little crappy, little cheap grill. But that's what I started grilling on because my dad did it all at home. And then 20 or 30 years of just screwing up everything, I started a website called grillinfools.com to help people not make the mistakes I did, because I screwed everything up. At one point or another, I screwed it up. I mean, I do pretty good now, but at some point or another, I screwed everything up. Whatever you want to name, I did it.
So your perspective, you're based down there in St. Louis, which has got a great barbecue scene. We know a little bit about that, but you travel the country, you know, in some of these great events and the big ones, and so like Memphis in May, right? You were there. So talk a little bit about how it's gone from just whether it's something that you did or your family did or your dad did, it's turned into not only your passion, but your career, right? You're everywhere with this.
Yeah, this is my day job. I mean, I grow on Instagram and I promote products and, you know, show what I do and what other people do on that. And I go around to different events and find content there to share with people. I promote those events, you know. I'll be doing at the American Royal in Kansas City in September, promoting them. I've done the World Food Championships. I even was flown out to Ireland to do Meatopia UK at the Guinness Brewery. I have a company that runs social media for brands, mainly food related. Tim, his Blues Hog stuff, we run their social. We do, you know, restaurants and you know, we do like the Eat Wheat people, that kind of thing. So we do anything kind of food related in social media, we can help with that. And so it's not like any one of these things is sustaining me, but all these things together, and it's all pretty much digital marketing around grilling and barbecue for the most part, is a career, which is weird. But I'm okay if it's got to be me.
It's not. You know? It isn't weird. 735,000 followers on Instagram don't think it's weird at all. They think that it's pretty cool, and they're following you on a regular basis and seeing it. And let the listeners know we're talking with the grilling fool himself, Scott Thomas. And you mentioned Ireland. And I know over the last handful of years, some of our big stars in the barbecue world, whether it's your Myron Mixons or even Tim, Chris Lilly, and some of those other kind of personalities that maybe do a little bit of TV and certainly win awards, is that they are traveling around the world, and that the world is really kind of getting in on trying to learn more about barbecue, trying to see more about that. Have you seen that too with your following, that you're getting people not only from America but globally?
Oh yeah, yeah. Germany's got, you know, it's not a huge base, but they're rabid. I mean, absolutely rabid. Ireland's got a big one. The Dutch, I mean, you don't think of the Netherlands, you know, but here you are, the barbecue. And they're not only rabid for the, you know, seeing the techniques and all that, but they're rabid for the products, because they're, you know, their spices, you know, we go in a grocery store here and the spice aisle is up, you know, 300 rubs, and there's paprika, You know, I mean, it's just, they are trying to find sauces and rubs and all the stuff that we take for granted here. They want, you know, badly there. And it's great. I mean, I run into people. I know that the Germans dominated the barbecue at World Food the last couple of years. You know, we hang out with those guys and everybody, you know, there may be a bit of a language barrier, but not really, because we're all speaking the same language.
Yeah, it's universal, right? And you hit on it too, because I think about the Jack Daniels World Invitational, and they always have a pretty big international contingent where you've got to, just to show what you have to do to get into it, you have to win your country's title in order to be invited to it. And it, you know, a while ago, it was kind of a novelty, right? And they'd build in some of their own flavors and ingredients and sensibilities, but now, I mean, they're contending for things. I mean, it's gotten serious.
Yeah, the guys that won the Royal a couple of years ago were from England, and like they weren't sure how to get the trophies back. They're like, we can't take these in the plane. they're too big. They've got all these pointy edges to them, and you know, these metal points that look like flames. What are we going to do? We can't. And they're like, well, we're going to ship them back. I have no idea what it costs to ship, because those things are about 60 pounds each, those trophies, and they're not small. I can't imagine what that cost to ship them back to England, but I'm sure they were happy to pay it, because they couldn't take it on the plane without buying an extra seat.
Right. Well, okay, so, and give a little information about the website and some of the, obviously the pictures are beautiful, right? And I think that's part of the big selling point of barbecue, is that there is so much visual to take in, whether it's the cuts of meat, whether it is the cooking, whether it's the live fire elements that are part of it. And is that, you know, you have your own connection and backstory to it, but is that really what you think is making it not only more and more popular across the country now, where people are figuring out all that stuff, but globally? Is it the communal nature? Is it something hardwired in the DNA with the live fire? I mean, have you been able to put your finger on exactly what's driving it?
Well, first of all, it is in our DNA, right? I mean, this is what it is. We since the invention of fire, we've been putting meat over it and standing there and pointing out, maybe you should flip that over, right? And you know, and I started the website grillandfools.com, and it's step by step, picture by picture, foolproof grilling instructions. There's like 450 recipes, and all we want to do is have you not screw up where we did and nail it the first time. And we'll talk about where we screwed something up in the recipe. But yeah, the communal nature. I mean, we are literally people that have been cooking food over fire for what, a few thousand years. I don't know how many years it goes back, but since the invention of fire, we've been cooking with it, and it is ingrained. It's just one of those primal archetype kind of things that is ingrained into everyone. I mean, I guess unless you're only eating sushi, I mean, at some point you're putting meat over fire or something over fire. Even if you're a vegetarian, you're putting something over fire.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Scott Thomas from grillandfools.com. And last thing on the equipment side, here's, I mean, there's nothing more simple, right, than fire. It goes back as long as anything, right? But you're seeing people, some on the simplicity, right? Tim Shear with the Gateway Drum Smoker, it's about as easy as it gets, but you're seeing all the Wi-Fi enabled grills and all that tech side. What are your thoughts on that? Just as the sort of the technology is there for people, but is it necessary?
It's not necessarily, but it's not bad. I'm going to tell you, I have a Green Mountain Grill pellet smoker, and I'm going to tell you, Thanksgiving, I grill my turkey every year on it, and I don't have to mess with it. I don't have to touch it. I can check the temperature for him inside, no matter how cold it is. It's so easy. That's kind of convenient. And you know what? And this day and age with this COVID and everybody went working from home, there's a whole lot more people grilling during the day on a random Tuesday. And they could be on their conference call, you know, and on a Zoom call and look down at their phone and check to see how much longer their pork shoulder has to go. That's not a bad thing. I mean, I think that's a good thing for barbecue. Yeah, sure. You really just need a way to control the temperatures and some fire, right? Vents to control your temp and fire and a rack to keep the food off of it so it doesn't burn. That's about as all it is. But those bells and whistles are not bad at all.
It's not bad, right? To each his own. And here's the thing on the barbecue side, and for any of the people out there that think, well, I just need one. Nope. I think I have like five or six grills. I'm pretty sure Scott has maybe 10 or maybe 20. Who knows? Some people, their entire backyard. But Scott, we're going to have links up at WGNRadio.com for grillandfools.com. We'll have some pictures up as well and links to some of the social media. But thanks for helping us kick off our summer on the grilling side. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me out. I really do.
We are going to take a quick break. Chicago Beer Fest, one of the big events that's going to be happening this summer. So stay tuned for that. It's Dane and for Dean 720 WGN.